الحمد لله الذي يهدي من يشاء من عباده إلى صراط مستقيم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الصادق الأمين، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, who guides whomever He wills among His servants to the right path. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our worship except Allah alone, with no partners. He is the helper and the protector for the believers. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. He is the trustworthy. He is the trust, the one who was entrusted with the revelation, the one who didn't betray. May Allah send His peace and His blessings upon him. May Allah exalt His mention, that of His companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. As to what follows, brothers in Islam, our gathering here today is a manifestation of Allah's blessings upon this Muslim ummah. Being together today on the day of Jumu'ah is a manifestation of Allah's bounties and favors upon us, the Muslim ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith in Bukhari that verily Allah had prescribed the day of Jumu'ah for the nations that preceded us, particularly the Jews and the Christians, but they differed concerning it. So Allah guided us to Friday, and the Jews to Saturday, and the Christians to Sunday. We got Jumu'ah. We got this blessed day that no one has and no one shares with us, the Muslim ummah. But what is unfortunate concerning that is that the Muslims themselves are the last ones to understand the virtue of that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to Aisha when they entered upon him and they said, "Assalamu alayk, may the poison be upon you." So Aisha became upset and she said, "May the sand be upon you and the curse of Allah, brothers of the monkeys and the pigs." He said, "Mah ya Aisha, slow down Aisha, relax. Allah does not like this kind of obscene talk. Allah does not like this kind of speech." He said, "They said something to me and I replied back to them." And then he mentioned at the end of the hadith that the reason why they hate us is because of the day of Jumu'ah. Among the reasons is that Allah guided us to the day of Jumu'ah, a day that has become neglected among the Muslims. And I don't have to tell you, you can see it with your eyes. Probably some of us are a manifestation of that negligence. And we've mentioned this many times before, but it doesn't seem that like the reminder is working. Perhaps because of the shortcomings of the speaker. So today, we will leave no room for anyone to pretend that he doesn't know any better. I will give it to you as it's supposed to be, bi-ithnillahi azza wa jal. What are you supposed to do on the night and day of Jumu'ah? From the beginning to the end. First and foremost, you must know that this is an obligation coming here today. It is not something optional to you. And the evidence for that is in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Oh, you who have believed, when the call has been made for the day of Jumu'ah, for the Salah, then proceed to the remembrance of Allah and abandon trade. Leave alone business, let alone sleep. You don't make money while you're sleeping, but you make money while you're working. So if you were commanded to leave alone business, don't ask about sleep. You're supposed to be leaving that alone automatically. Understood. And hasten to the remembrance of Allah. Leave alone trade. This is better for you if you only knew. But not everybody knows. Some people are negligent concerning Jumu'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned. He said, لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ عَنْ وَدْعِهِمُ الْجُمُعَاتِ أَوْ لَيَخْتِمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ ثُمَّ لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. He said, let some people abandon neglecting the Jumu'at. Otherwise Allah will seal their hearts and then they will become among those who are negligent, those who are heedless, those who don't take a reminder. Jumu'ah begins Thursday night. Pay attention. You're a Muslim, not something else. In Islam, the night precedes the day. The night comes before the day. So from Thursday Maghrib time, this is Laylatul Jumu'ah. And Laylatul Jumu'ah extends until Fajr. Then from Fajr it is Yawmul Jumu'ah, the day of Jumu'ah, which will remain until the Maghrib of today. Then once Maghrib comes in, it is automatically Laylatul Sabt, the night of Saturday, and so on and so forth. If this is the case, then our acts of worship actually begin, those associated with Jumu'ah, from Maghrib of Thursday. And there are two in particular. Number one, sending as-salat wa salam ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Asking Allah to exalt His mansion, grant Him peace, and send His blessings upon Him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning that, Inna min afdali ayyamikum yawm al-jumu'ah. Fihi khuliqa Adam, wa fihi qubit, wa fihi nafqatu, wa fihi sa'qatu, fa akthiru alayya min as-salati fihi, fa inna salatakum ma'rudatun alayhi. Ila akhir al-hadith. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best day among your days is the day of Jumu'ah, the day of Friday. On that day, Adam was created. And on that day, Adam was taken away. He died. It is on that day that the trumpet will be blown. And on that day, the creation will swoon to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone. Then he said, so send an abundance of peace and blessings upon me on that day. Because verily that will be presented to me. The Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, how could that be after you had passed away? He said, verily Allah has made the earth, He had forbidden the earth from consuming the flesh of the prophets. It cannot consume the bodies of the prophets. It doesn't mean you can speak to Him, but we have a specific evidence concerning when you say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid, until the end. That is presented to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the angels whom Allah had designated for them this very task. Receiving the salam, delivering the salam. This begins from Thursday night until Thursday Maghrib until Friday Maghrib. As much as you can. There's never too much of saying Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second, the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf. Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu wa ardah قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ سورة الكهف في يوم الجمعة أضاء له من النورين أضاء له من النور ما بين الجمعتين عفوا. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever recites سورة الكهف on the day of Jumu'ah, in another narration it says on the evening of Jumu'ah. So we have one hadith during the night, which is from Maghrib till Fajr, another one during the day, which is from Fajr till Maghrib of today. He said, he will be illuminated with light between the two Fridays. And the scholars say this means that he shall be guided because Allah guides with that light. He will be guided, he will be illuminating with light between the two Fridays for reciting Surah Al-Kahf. And I don't have to say to you that you should strive to read it in a language which you understand. Now yes, there's a blessing in reciting Surah Al-Kahf in the Arabic language, but there's a message in the Surah that me and you must understand. So brother, give some time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read it in the Arabic language for that virtue, then read it in your mother tongue so you may understand what the chapter is talking about. So you may take a reminder from the Quran, because this is the objective of the revelation. For me and you to be protected from Jahannam and permitted to Jannah. Not so we can recite and call one a Qari and another one a Hafiz. That's not what it is for. These are the two acts of worship that you may do from Thursday night. Fajr comes in. Of course you will be in the masjid, unless you want to be labeled among the hypocrites, according to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said the most difficult salah upon the hypocrite is Salatul Fajr, and another one Salatul Isha. So disqualify yourself from this title by being in the masjid during Salatul Fajr. Needless to say, all of you will do that bi-idhnillahi Azza wa Jal. Preparation for Jumu'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من اغتسل يوم الجمعة واستاك ومس من طيب إن كان عنده ولبس من أحسن ثيابه ثم خرج حتى يجيء المسجد حتى يأتي المسجد فلم يتخطى رقاب الناس ثم ركع ما شاء الله له أن يركع ثم أنصت إذا خرج الإمام فلم يتكلم حتى فرغ الإمام من صلاته كانت له كفارة لهما وبينهما وبين الجمعة الأخرى أو كما قال صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. He said عليه الصلاة والسلام, whoever does ghusl, which is bathing, showering on the day of Jumu'ah, the scholars have different concerning the ruling whether it is obligatory or recommended. Least to say, the safest position that it is recommended. But this is for the one who already smells good. If you don't smell good, then it's an obligation on you to shower before you come to this particular place. Because you are not supposed to harm your brothers and the angels with your foul scent. You don't come from work to Jumu'ah. You shower first. He said, whoever showers, does ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah, was stuck and he brushes his teeth with the siwak, with the toothbrush, with toothpaste, whatever you want, whatever gets the job done. And the siwak is the best without a doubt because it's from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he puts on some perfume if you have some. Smell good and nice. Then he said, and he wears the best of his clothes. You can't come here with a pajama, akhi. If you don't go to some king to meet him with the pajamas, don't come to the house of Allah with your pajamas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen some men wearing regular clothes that they wear during their working days. He said, can one of you buy a special garment for the day of Jumu'ah? Can't you buy that? Specify a particular clothing that is nice that you wear on this particular day. Not the same clothes that you wear every day when you go to work. You are coming to meet your brothers. You are coming to be in contact with the community. And you're supposed to represent yourself Islamically with the Islamic hygiene that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. The cleanliness of the believer. The good appearance of the believer. You put on your nicest clothes. This is all preparation. Then he said that he comes to the masjid and he doesn't walk over the shoulders of people as some ignorant do. He wants to sit here in the front and there's no room for him. So he started walking over people to make it to this place. The Prophet ﷺ forbade that. But the scholars say, if there's a gap, if there's an open spot in the front and the brothers are too negligent to occupy it, then you have the right to move over there. But you ask people with kindness to walk between them. And you come and sit in the open spot because it's not supposed to be open. It's not supposed to be open. Then he comes to the Jumu'ah. He does not walk over the shoulders of people. Then he listens to the Imam when he comes. And he does not speak. He does not speak until the Imam is done with the Salah. This will be means of expiating your sins for the whole Friday. And another narration for 2 Fridays and 3 days, meaning 10 days. Allah will forgive your sins for 10 days. By you just coming and doing something very basic, which is expected of you without the reminder. Looking good, looking clean. And looking good is not by doing something that opposes the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't misunderstand what people consider to be good with a clean shaven face. That does not look good. That does not look good at all to the believer. Rather, what looks good is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah revealed this guidance to him from above the 7 heavens. So you resemble him alayhi salatu wasalam in his cleanliness, in his way of life, and you look representable among the brothers. And you listen to the Imam, Allah will forgive all of your sins. When do you come to Jumu'ah? This is the musibah. This is the calamity that cannot be expressed in words. This is the thing that brings agony and pain to the heart. You try to drive down the street. Drive on Sab'een Street. 10 minutes. 5 minutes before the Imam comes on here. In this masjid and otherwise. And 80% of the people are just walking to the masjid. Just before the Imam. Although The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us with the following hadith. He said, whoever does ghusl on Jumu'ah like that of Janabah, then he comes to Jumu'ah in the early hours, the first hour. It is as if he sacrificed a camel. And if he comes in the second hour, as if he sacrificed a cow. And if he comes in the third hour, as if he sacrificed a horned ram. And if he comes in the fourth hour, as if he sacrificed a hen. And if he came in the fifth hour, as if he gave an egg. In the first one, a camel. Let me put it to you in modern words. As if you are donating a Mercedes every Friday for the sake of Allah. Can you afford that? I don't think anyone here can. I don't think anyone can afford to donate a car every single Friday. But akhi, Allah will give you that reward simply for coming an extra hour instead of this long sleep. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Until when we gonna sleep? We are mentally sleeping and physically sleeping. And we wanted the situation to change. And we complain. Ya akhi, why is this happening to us? Why are the Muslims like that? Because of me and you. Because of me and you. And the rest of us. Sleeping all the time. Subhanallah al-Azim. No one can wake up at 9 in the morning. You can't wake up at 9 in the morning 3 hours after Fajr. You wake up for Fajr, you sleep for 3 hours. You clean yourself, you put on your clothes, you come around 10, 11, something reasonable in this first row, in this blessed row. What do you have to lose? Where's the investment for the hereafter? Where do you think you're going? Where are you going? Either Jannah or Jahannam. This is Jannah here. This is how you buy Jannah with the mercy of Allah alongside with it. Nowhere else. If you can't do this, how are you going to do that which is easy, which is more difficult? This is easy. But brothers are asleep. Shaitan has fooled us. And we think we're rightly guided. You come early. Do you sit down when you come in? No. Even while the Imam, the Khatib is giving the khutbah. It was narrated from Jabir ibn Abdullah. جَاءَ رَجُلٌ وَالنَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَخْطُبُ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ فقال أصليت يا فلان قال لا قال قم فركع ركعتين. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was given khutbah on the day of Jumu'ah, and a man came in. He told us, brother, get up and pray 2 rak'at over there. Get up Habibi, pray 2 rak'at before you sit down. You came at the right time or just before the right time. He told the man, ya fulan, did you pray? He said, no, he said, get up and pray. Get up and pray. Just as you saw right now, subhanallah al-azim. Any manifestation of the hadith by the grace of Allah. You don't sit down, akhi. Even if it's in the day of Jumu'ah and the Imam is giving the khutbah. And this hadith is in Bukhari. If anyone would like to inject his opinion into this hadith, then he is misguided. After the hadith is clear, you cannot say, but I'm supposed to listen to the Imam, blah, blah, blah. None of that stuff. If that was correct, the Prophet ﷺ would have not told the man to get up and pray the 2 rak'ah during Jumu'ah. So you don't sit down. You pray. And when you do sit down, when you're done with the salah, what are you supposed to do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا قُلْتَ لِصَاحِبِكَ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ أَنْصِبْ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْطِبْ فَقَدْ لَغَوْتْ. If your companion speaks on the day of Jumu'ah while the Imam is talking, and you tell him be quiet, you have committed an idle talk. In another hadith he said, لا جمعه لك. You will have no reward for Jumu'ah. You don't have to pray Dhuhr. That's the only thing you will get. But everything associated with reward of this day will be void by you telling a brother to be quiet, let alone you speaking by yourself. And it is not restricted to speech. Rather, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man massa al-hasa faqad lagha." If you play with the pebbles, if you play with the pebbles, you have committed an idle act. So you can't be playing with your beard, and you can't be cleaning your ears, and you can't be playing with your toes. And unless you are a senior citizen, unless you are above 100 years old and have back problems, you shouldn't be in the back either. This is not a qahwa or istiraha. You're coming to worship Allah. You don't come and take the back seat and relax to Allah so you can take a little nap before the Imam comes. You come sit in the front, you don't play with anything, you don't busy yourself with anything. You listen to the Imam and you look at the Imam. Be patient with us. Imams talk too much, but it's 20-25 minutes and then the reward is yours. You don't like what you say, alhamdulillah, Allah will reward you for your patience. But don't be busy with anything else. This is what is expected of us on this particular day. As for the Imam, the obligation of brothers who stand on this particular minbar. Jabir ibn Abdullah said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خطب احمرت عيناه وعلى صوته واشتد غضبه كأنه منذر جيش يقول صبحكم مساكم. Jabir ibn Abdullah said, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he would deliver the khutbah, his eyes would become red and his voice will become loud and he will become angry as if he is a general in the army telling his soldiers, they will come upon you in the morning, they will come upon you in the evening, meaning threatening them and warning them from the consequences. That's how the sunnah is. No soft speech over here. This is not to be gentle with the brothers over here. We're gentle all the time. This is for serious business here. That's what it is. Anyone who follows the guidance other than that, he will fail. And the brothers will not benefit. As for the duration of the khutbah, this is not a lecture that should go on for an hour or so. This is a short, brief reminder for people who would like to take a reminder. The Prophet ﷺ said, an indication of the person's understanding of the deen is that his khutbah should be short and his salah should be long. Otherwise, people get bored. Especially if you're not screaming. Why are you looking at me right now? Why aren't you falling asleep? Because I'm following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Believe me, if I didn't, many brothers would be asleep right now. Many brothers would not even know what the khutbah was about afterwards. Say, what was the khutbah about? Say, wallahi, I don't remember. But the brother said a lot of nice stuff. It's not about saying nice stuff. It's about you benefiting from the reminder. This is the etiquette of the day of Jumu'ah. As for the sunan, when the muezzin calls the first adhan, no one should get up and pray anything. You understand what I'm saying, brothers? When the imam, when the muezzin calls the first adhan, before this one, there is no sunnah ratiba. There is no voluntary prayer like on the days of like dhuhr, on the other days. No such thing. And the reason why, because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't have two adhans, they had only one. The second adhan was integrated into the deen and the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu, because the Muslims became large in numbers and they needed someone to notify them that Jum'ah is around the corner, then another one for them to come. So the Sahaba, they said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will come in from the door. He will get on the minbar. He will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He will sit down. The muezzin will call the adhan. He will begin the khutbah. When did they pray the sunnah? No one prayed the sunnah. Not the Messenger of Allah at home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not the companions in the masjid. So there's no such thing. No such thing. As for afterwards, then there are a number of narrations. The conclusion given by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that if you pray in the masjid, you pray four rak'at. And if you go home, you pray two. After Jumu'ah. If you pray in the masjid, you pray four. If you pray at home, you pray two. But Ibn Umar said, I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray the sunnah in the masjid after Jumu'ah. He would go home and he would pray two rak'at at home. That's the ultimate sunnah. And in the second part of the khutbah, we will deal with the other aspects of Jumu'ah, dealing with that after the salah, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers in Islam, after you hear the reminder, I and you should expect that our lives should change. When you hear these reminders, akhwan, we should leave this place better than when we walked in. If we walk in and leave at the same condition, no one, we did not benefit. We did not benefit. These reminders were legislated by Allah Azza wa Jal, so those who are heedless will be notified and they will wake up from their sleep. So it is obvious that what we expect of everyone who learns something new, to put it into practice to the best of one's ability. Concerning the dua on the day of Jumu'ah by the Imam, the scholars have talked about this extensively. And there's no indication, as far as I know, and I may be mistaken, that the Prophet ﷺ would make dua every Jumu'ah in the way that is done today. This long dua where the brothers are almost like, "Akhi, stop making dua." You know what I'm saying? That dua that is just too much against the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ used to speak little with a lot of information. We don't have to go into intricate details in the dua. You say something comprehensive which includes everyone if you wish to make a dua. Raising the hands is an innovation for the Imam and the Ma'mumin. Unless it is istisqa, seeking rain. If we're going to do istisqa during the time of Jumu'ah, then raising the hands is a sunnah. Otherwise, the Imam should not raise his hands and the Ma'mumin should not raise their hands either. Rather, the righteous fellow says he used to make a dua against the one who raised his hands because he is going against the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's no such thing in the deen that you wipe your face with the dua. No such narration that is authentic. It does not exist. It exists back home. It exists with our forefathers, with our shuyukh and maulanas, yes. But it doesn't exist in the deen of Allah. Rather, the righteous predecessor said, whoever wipes his face with the dua after dua is ignorant. Only an ignorant person will do that. There's no authentic hadith that you should say, wipe your body, blow on yourself, anything of this nature. Kissing your thumbs when you hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, putting your hands on your head saying, "Ya Qawi," these are innovations in the deen of Allah. Very commonly spread, but not from the deen of Allah. You choose whether you want to follow the Messenger of Allah or the people. And on the day of judgment, I'm sure you would know what the outcome will be. So then there's no raising the hands for the Imam, no raising the hands of the Ma'mumin. Lastly, the last hour of today, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith that there's an hour on the day of Jumu'ah, no believing servant supplicates to Allah with anything except that Allah will grant him that. And the narrations indicate that it is the last hour of Asr, meaning the last hour of Asr before Maghrib. If Maghrib comes in at 7 and 10 minutes, meaning from 6:10 till 7:10, this is the time for dua. So don't be sleeping, and don't be playing, and don't be eating. Rather be in the house of Allah, or in the corner of your house, asking Allah for the goodness of the hereafter and the dunya. And for Allah to save us from the hellfire, and for Allah to make us among those who are rightly guided. This is the time for dua. Don't be among the heedless. Perhaps one dua you will say on one of these days, Allah will save you with it. Don't belittle anything. It's a virtuous time. Preferably come to the house of Allah early, to the masajid early, so you'll have some time to make dua while you make in sujood, which is the best. Khayrun ala khayr, nurun ala nur, goodness upon goodness and light upon light. If you happen to make dua during the last hour while making sujood, Allahu Akbar. But where are the brothers who are aware? Where are those who will put into practice? None of my business. It's none of my business. None of anybody's business. This is Allah's business, Azza wa Jal. He guides whomever deserves guidance, and He leads astray whomever does not deserve it. So me and you should acquire guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal by living up to the deen of Islam. It is time, my brothers in Islam, that you represent Islam. You, each one of you, should be a representative of this deen, according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So people will enter into Islam through your character, through your behavior, through your speech, through your following of the deen of Islam. This is how it is. Either you will be successful or you'll be among the losers. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal in this blessed day to make us all among the successful, and to forgive us our sins, and pardon us for our shortcomings, and make us among the inhabitants of Jannah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. أقم الصلاة.